house is burning. Your daughter's in the house. It's not too late.
You're the talk of the town.
Because I got my head bashed in and I'm still here to talk about it.
Because you have the power of second sight.
I don't know whether it's true or not, these psychic powers of yours. Now I'm at my wit's end, John. I could use your help. It has to do with these murders we've been having. The Castle Rock killer.
As the visions grow stronger and more powerful, so the body weakens.
God has seen fit to bless you with this gift. You should use it.
Bless me!
Not only can you see the future,
I can change it.
Welcome back, guys, for another episode of the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peter.
And today we're going to be reviewing the 1983 movie, Stephen King movie, The Dead Zone. It's been a little while since we've recorded. I was wondering, have you guys made any bookshelves lately?
No, I've been hitting the movies, the theaters, heavy like this, these past couple weeks. So I went to go see, like, well, I'll tell the story like later on, like towards the end, because I want to give out a movie recommendation and it kind of insults this movie giving out that
recommendation. So that's not this, you're not recommending this movie?
I think if you're going for like like a horror movie, like, or like a scary movie or a disturbing movie, then there's better options out there.
Okay, so we'll go in. We can go ahead and cut Chris off the rest of this episode.
All right. Just
cool. No, but right. So this week it was David's pick, me, and I'll tell you guys why I picked it. I remember watching this movie as a kid. And thinking it was a horror movie, and like there are parts of it that look scary, like when he's like in the bed and it's on fire, and the, you guys remember that part, like his first premonition?
Yeah, it kind of tricked me because I thought it was gonna be a horror movie, so it kind of tricked me like that.
Well, when I was a kid, it did scare the shit out of me, and then other parts of it when the kids are like in the lake. Like, I don't remember too much of the story. I just remember the scary parts. And
it kind of threw me for a loop, too, because, I mean, it's a Stephen King movie, you know? And Stephen King is, like, a horror novelist, you know?
Yeah. He does have, like, a lot more than horror, too, though, right? Like, other types of movies, like The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption. I don't think those are, like, really at all horror. Well, yeah, he's kind of known
like
for
Dark
horror.
Tower isn't like really that like horror, like.
Yeah, so I remember that as a kid, and then I watched it again, not knowing anything about it really, and I really like how he was super religious, like so much so he didn't want to sleep with a chick right at the beginning of it, and then like he goes to spiteful. And then finally, towards the end of the movie, he kind of like realizes he's called upon to do something more than, that's more important than like himself. You know what I mean? And he accepts all of it, like willingly. You know what I mean?
So you think if he slept with her, then his life would have been pretty good, though?
He did sleep with her.
Not at the beginning, if he just like went into temptation, then they probably would have had a good life, right?
So that's why I picked it. Okay. Right, so let's go with what did you guys so that's my first impressions is watching it, and I just really liked it a lot, and I've watched it lots of times since then, and I honestly thought you guys would kind of dig it. There are a lot of movies that I do like that I know you guys wouldn't like that I don't pick, So I do really try to pick stuff that you guys, I think that you guys would like, but I'm just not getting you guys. It is not correlating.
Oh my god. You're like 0-3 or some shit.
Alright, Chris, so what as long as you don't give this a 3, like I think that was your lowest. I think that was Speed Racer. So as long as this isn't a 3, I'll be happy. What did you think about it?
I have a soft spot for for these type of movies. You know, it's not really horror, but it does have like that, you know, that tense atmosphere of a horror movie. You know, so, you know, I went into it like with a pretty like rosy outlook. You know, like hoping that. It would really like surprise me, you know, and I'm like, for the most part, I'm a sucker for like Stephen King movies. There are a few ones that are kind of bad, but for the most part, I really dig, you know, his works. But this one, it was kind of like hit and miss for me, you know, like there was parts of it I really liked about it. It was kind of, you know, it told an awesome story, you know, like the story of it was like solid. The acting wasn't all that great. I think it's just because it was so dated, you know, like that's how they acted back during those times in the 80s and shit, you know. Okay. But yeah, like it's, you know, I was happy with it.
All right, Peter, what did you think? Is this your first time watching it?
Well, it's the first... I think I did watch it when I was a kid. Didn't remember shit of it, though. I've been looking forward to watching it for a while because it looks cool. The poster looks cool. I think it's on Prime, right?
I bought it on Prime.
Yeah. Well, it's... it looks like the cover looks cool. The Dead Zone. It sounds cool too. And I thought it was going to be a horror movie, and I was kind of disappointed. Is kind of strong, maybe too strong of a word, but I was kind of hoping it would be more of like a Sixth Sense type of a deal. But I didn't really like it or dislike it, kind of right in the middle.
Okay. Do you guys think in 1983 this might have been a horror movie or no?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, like
I think
like nuclear war was like big, right? Like Kennedy and everything. That probably was terrifying. The most terrifying thing you can put on the TV. I don't know.
I mean, it had like it had like a lot of elements of horror movies, you know, like it had like your typical like what's it called, like slasher killer, like in the movie that they're like trying to like,
oh, that's true, kill. Yeah. Police officer,
yeah. And like a lot of the, like especially like when they go into the officer's home, officer,
oh
dog,
yeah, oh yeah,
like the actual house looks like a haunted house, you know, like.
Like how they not see it, that coming, if anyone's been in his house before. All right, guys, so we'll jump into actors real quick. We got Christopher Walken. Let's see. I'm scrolling, sorry. We got Brooke Adams, Tom Skerritt. We got Herbert Lom. Let's see. And that, I think
Martin Sheen.
Oh yeah, we got Martin Sheen. And we got Anthony Zerbe, Colleen Dewhurst, and Nicholas Campbell, it looks like.
That's Frank, yeah.
Alright, so what did you guys think about Christopher Walken in this movie?
Man, he looks like a heartthrob, dude. Man, that's like the one thing that I took away from this movie is, man, he looks good for fucking, like, how old was he in this movie?
I don't know, man, but like, which version of him in this movie? Do you dig the bowl haircut look on him or the beginning of it?
I don't know. I probably like after like the beginning haircut, like almost looked fake, you know, but later on in the movie, like his hair, like kind of starts to like, look more normal, or I guess maybe just like grows on you, you know?
All right. So here's a question for you guys. I seriously did see like one of our friends cut their kid's hair, and she did pull out a bowl and put it on top of the kid and cut it like the same haircut. Oh my
God.
What was your guys' worst hairstyle growing up? You guys have
I got a good one. I buzzed my head and then I bleached it when I was in like elementary school. Do you remember that, David?
Yeah, when everyone was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fucking horrible.
Right, Chris, what was your worst one?
No, it was not cool. What about you, Chris?
I mean, it probably was cool back in the day.
No, when I was a kid too, like, when I was really young, I think it was like my first day of like kindergarten, I think. Like I was like 5 years old, I think. And my dad like sat me outside on this spinning stool and he like just started chopping away at my hair. Like not even like with any like rhyme or reason for what he was doing, you know? Like he just started like fucking chopping away like he was fucking like Vidal Sassoon or some shit, you know?
Do you have a picture of it or how it came out?
Yeah, I do. Like, oh, actually, shit, it's on my mom's refrigerator.
My worst one, like, I got, like, really poofy hair. And I remember, like, growing it out, but cutting the sides. So I kind of looked like a muffin top. It was pretty crazy. And I think I had like this weird spray bottle dye. It was like orange or something. I was like skating and stuff. It was really bad. All right. Brooke Adams. What do you guys think about Brooke Adams in this movie? Do you think she was
like, I didn't really like her acting in this movie. Like, especially in the beginning. Like, my worst scene is like the beginning, like that scene where they like, you know, like profess their love for each other and shit. You know, like, he's all like fucking, or she's all like, I'm crazy about you, and he's all like, what does he say? He's all like, I'm gonna marry you, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, like, did people really talk like that back in the day? Like, it was, it fucking irked me pretty bad.
All right, Pierre, what'd you think about her?
All right, so Brooke Adams, she kind of looked like she belonged like in like a Disney ride, right? With her crazy like smile and everything like the whole time. Didn't she? Or is it just me? I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're both like super wholesome-y, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. It's just
she's like a hussy, dude. She fucking slept with Christopher Walken when she was married.
Yeah, that's so. It was.
That's true.
It's very flawed character, right? And her son was with her too, right?
Yeah, she was in during the next room. Right?
Yeah. But her acting, I don't know. She just like seemed kind of, I don't know.
Okay.
Too much, maybe like too joyful, too like happy. Okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Am I wrong, Chris?
No, I think you're right on the you hit the nail on the head, you know, like it just maybe she was just like, I don't know if anxiety or like if she was just like too like excited about the role, you know, like maybe she was just giving too much, you know.
That's a good way to describe it, I guess. She wasn't bad. I don't think she was horrible. No.
Or what did you guys think about
kind of odd. It was kind of odd.
All right, here we'll go with Tom Skerritt. Quick thoughts. I kind of think it was funny, like how he's just like walking around town asking everyone to solve his crime. <you know? laughs> He's like, anybody, I will take anything, please, somebody.
Even goes on national TV, please help me.
Like, he sold it really well. It was really cool watching it. What did you guys think?
Yeah, like, I really, I enjoyed, like, his mustache, man. Like, his, like, look, his entire, like, character, it was just, like, spot on, dude. Like, I really loved it. I loved his character in this movie.
It's pretty much, like, the same character in all the movies, kind of, right? He's always Tom Skerritt, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that many movies of him, but he kind of,
that's a good way to describe it too. Yeah.
You
know what's kind of funny too is Martin Sheen, he plays kind of like the same guy in Spawn too, right? Like, that wants to, like, destroy half the world too, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted, he just didn't want to die in that movie.
Yeah.
What do you think about Tom Skerritt in this one though, too? Anything?
Yeah, I think you said it right on spot. Like, he looks good in the uniform he portrays.
He does,
you know, like, it fits him well, you know. And he didn't have a lot of go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I really like it when he's told that there's another murder and he's like, oh damn it, you know. And he's just like, fuck. You guys remember that part? He's standing outside like the snow and he's just like, oh.
So what about Christopher Walken? What do you guys think about him in the movie?
I really like this movie, and I think that he's phenomenal in it. Like, all of the the only part I don't like him in this movie is when he says, my dad's tired of my cuisine. Just like, come on, dude. All the other parts.
There's a couple moments. They're like small, like throughout.
How cool would it have been to have him as like an English teacher reading to you guys poems and shit like that?
I hate his name in this movie. John.
It's like Johnny Smith. Generic. Yeah.
All right. we got a couple left. The doctor, played by Herbert Lom, Dr. Sam. You guys like him in this role, or?
I did. I liked him. He has one of my stupidest lines, but I still like him. Yeah.
What'd you think about him, Chris? Did you like him, the doctor?
No, I did like him too. You know, like, but like during that era, like 70s, 80s, 90s, like, every doctor was played by like that same stereotypical like Eastern European, like, or like fucking Polish, like, type of like character, you know. So I didn't really like the fact that like his typecast, you know, in this movie. I wish they could have gotten, like, you know, maybe get like an African American dude, you know, or like get a female, you know, and doctor in there or some shit.
Okay. You
know, try something a little. I know it's like out of the ordinary for that during that time, but it's whatever. You know, nothing too big.
I think the last one we'll go with is Martin Sheen.
He what did you think about the doctor, insane. David?
I like. What did you think
about the doctor?
Yeah. I liked him. He feels like believable, right? I think he had pretty good chops too, acting chops. I did. He's like I'm the boy, you know. I really like this movie. I think it's a 10 for sure. Best movie we've reviewed, right? What do you guys think about Martin Sheen?
I love Martin Sheen, but like, I think Peter said it best, because he like played the same exact character in Spawn, and like, he plays both of those. Both of these roles, like, he played in Spawn, like, the same intensity that he did in this movie. Like, his fucking...
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying, like, he just seemed, like, he overreacts to, like, every, like everything that he's told, you know, like, he just either flips out, like, he's bipolar or some shit, you know, like, he just he can't like have like a normal like reaction. He has to like fucking intensify everything.
But does he pull it off in this though, do you think?
Yeah, he does. You know, like, I love Martin Sheen. So that's just, he does that character well, you know. Like, I don't think there's, like, any other actor that, like, does that much intensity, like, consistently, like, throughout their movies, like he does.
So what do you think about him, Peter?
I think he's a very believable politician. No, he played his part very well. His acting's, I don't think I've ever seen him bad in anything.
It's crazy how he's on stage talking shit to the people, right? Like they showed up to his rally. All right. What did you guys think about the pace of this movie? Because, like, it moves fast and, like, it keeps, like, if you miss 5 minutes, you miss, like, a lot, you know? And almost any part of this movie just keeps moving. Like, I think a lot of people, when they first watch this movie, they think Dodd, the serial killer, that's, like, the main part of the movie, you know? And it's not. It just keeps going. What did you guys? Did you guys find the pace difficult, or did you like how fast it was, or did you find it slow?
I was gonna bring this up during the deep dive, but yeah, like, I'm glad you brought it up, because this movie, like, it felt like the book was like 400 or 500 pages, and this movie, like, should have, like, taken 2 movies to, like, get everything that they wanted in the book on film, you know? Like, it was just too fast-paced, you know? Like, they just rushed. Or, not, it didn't feel rushed, but, like, it just felt like they could have extended, like, some of the scenes, you know, to make it, like, a lot more enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, that is a common thing, I think. I don't know if you guys know this, but this was a TV show also. And, like,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
Every episode was something. Like, the first, I think one whole episode was about Dodd. You know? Like, and then one episode is the hockey players in the ice. All right, so, Pierre, what did you think about the pace? Did you like it or dislike it or even notice it?
I thought the pace moved almost as fast as he was on his crutches. It was fucking slow. So you thought it was slow? Oh, shit. You thought it was too slow? No, he was fucking, like, just jumping around. Do you remember that?
So did you like it, though? Yeah. That's, like, it seems dangerous doing that shit in the snow, right?
Yeah, I forgot that we watched this all together, huh? Yeah, oh, we watched the majority of this movie together. I felt bad because everybody was just talking shit for, like, the first half of it. And then Dave was like, fuck you guys.
So, like, I got my ball and I'm taking it home.
No, I didn't really. It was kind of cool to see, like the major, like, a major plot point resolve with, like, in the first half of the movie, you know? But it wasn't. It's hard to compliment this movie a lot, I guess, because I have so much bad shit in the back of my head. You know what I mean, but, like, the pace, the pace was fine.
All right,
I'm not gonna I don't hate it. I just I'm just thinking of, like, 5 different things. You know what I mean?
Okay. Let's go with, we'll jump into best lines and worst lines of this movie. We'll start with Chris. Chris, what was your best line of this movie?
Okay. I think you brought it up earlier, like, how you enjoyed the spirituality of this movie, like the confliction, you know, of spirituality. And I, you know, that really, you know, stood out for me as well. And in one scene, kind of where officer or the sheriff is, like, Tom Skerritt, he's, like, asking Christopher Walken for help. like the first time he goes to ask for him for help.
Yeah.
And he tells him that you got a gift, or you were like given a God-given gift or some shit like that. And he responds, or he says like you were blessed by God or some shit. And he responds with, bless me. You know what God did for me? He threw an 18-wheel truck at me, boxed me into nowhere for 5 years. When I woke up, my girl was gone, my job was gone, my legs were just about useless. Bless me, God's been a real sport to me.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of a long line, but man, like, it just hit the nose on, like, it was a perfect line, you know, like, for this movie, like, what this movie is, like, for me, what this movie was about, you know?
Yeah, and like, one thing with that is, his acting is pretty good too, right? When he delivers it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that's kind of like as deep, that's as low as he gets right there, is when he like admits it too, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. he had this stupid, cheesy, like, life that everyone wants. He's a freaking school teacher, he had this girl, he had his stupid haircut, right? He gets in an accident, and it's all taken away, dude, all of it. He has to see this lady living, like, she's married. He woke up, she's married with a kid, he doesn't have his job, he can't walk, you know what I mean? He has nothing. And his mom dies and everything. Rafir, do you have anything on that line?
Yeah, it's also my favorite line. It pretty much sums up all his feelings for the whole movie. You know, and you would think that the police officer would, the whole conversation was done while the police officer is trying to use him as a tool, like a lot of people would, you know, but I don't even know if he even thought about how much of a shitty gift it was for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did he realize that? At that point, that every time he uses his gift, it like kills him a little bit.
I don't think anybody knew that.
He says that later on in the scene, in that scene after the cop leaves. His dad asks him, it doesn't bring you much joy, does it? And he says, he's like, he walks over to the window. He's like, every time it happens, when the spells come, I don't know, it feels like I'm dying inside or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he does know that, like, he does hate it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Best line is after Sarah comes back and visits him on his fucking, like, crazy crutches that he's hopping over shit with. like, it is crazy. Personal trainer is like the worst personal trainer, right? He's like jogging around and shit talking shit to him. He's like, I'm gonna go on a jog.
That's all I get.
He like takes off and leaves him there. But anyways, okay, let's see. Alright. So he brings up a quote from the Headless Horseman, right? And he says, because he was a bachelor and in no one's debt, nobody missed him. Which is like,
oh my gosh,
that's like a 10 set, like, I don't know, that's a 12 word sentence, which is fucking like harsh, right? It's like, this guy's not married, doesn't have any kids, and he didn't owe anyone money, so no one even thought about him, right?
Yeah, his parents did. Yeah.
I know.
They were sitting like, by him the whole time, 5 years.
I know, but that's true. It's just that's what he feels, you know, and that's the best way. It's just harsh, and she does, like, drive away crying about it, right? Yeah. Do you guys blame her for not hanging out for 5 years?
No, not really. Like, people move on, dude. Like, it's, you know... Because, like, when I stop and think about, like, a coma, like, being in a coma, like, I actually like already thought it out, and if it were me, in a coma, I would just tell him to pull the plug or some shit, you know, like I would rather people just move on and go on with their lives instead of letting me sit there and rot away, you know.
Yeah, it would have been nice if he kind of appreciated that she had somebody to love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it didn't portray that at all.
That
he's a man and he's selfish, like most you know, most of us.
Yeah. Okay. I don't blame her at all. Like if it was me and I decided to move on, I would have probably left that tiny fucking town, you know? So you didn't have to just so that it wouldn't be in the back of her head all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't blame her for it.
I think
she's an idiot though for coming back and rehashing the emotions.
Yeah, you know,
as he wakes up.
It is,
and then
it
she goes back and they bang afterwards with the fucking kid there and shit. You know?
Okay. Is it stupid and irrational? Yeah, but they loved each other, right? This movie, it doesn't portray it well enough, the love story between the two of them. No, watching it, besides the rain kissing, we're going to get married, besides that, 2 second scene, if you just take it as, they are madly in love with each other, then this movie's, better. I just watch it with that in the back of my head, and it makes sense. All the shit that he's doing and why he's so angry.
Yeah, I get that, but I have a real problem in romance movies where somebody's engaged and they go or married and they hook up with somebody else. None of that's romance to me. You know,
I have a lot of problem with that, but for this movie, I kind of give it a pass because it's. It's not portrayed in a super sexualized way, you know what I mean? That's the least sexy scene I've ever seen. right?
I know the murder scene that Dodd, when he killed that little girl, was more sexy than their sex scene.
It seriously was. This one was very strange.
it was PG, PG sex,
just, it was super
big. It just skipped everything.
Yeah. I do have a problem with it, and then later on where the dad's oh, it's nice we have a family around this table, she's oh shit, you know what I mean? I actually have a family.
Do you think that the dad actually knew what happened while they were gone?
Of course, that's gone. The whole we're making bookcases reference.
Yeah.
It was cheesy as shit. All right, let's see. All right, so that was my best line. Yeah, what was your guys' worst lines?
We'll go ahead, Chris.
Chris?
Okay, my worst line was it kind of goes into what we were just talking about. About how she as soon as he wakes up, and I think the first time she goes to visit him, she's pretty much trying to rehash
Sarah or the mom.
Sarah, yeah, okay. Sarah. The first time that Sarah goes to visit Christopher Walken, she's almost trying to rehash the emotions, you know, that they felt for each other, you know, and you know, just by being there, you could have she could have made a phone call, you know, or instead of going to visit him, I don't know, because he says they're talking about her life, and she says what did she say,
you'd like him?
Yeah, I think you'd like him. And
I've heard that line in a couple of movies. I was like, oh, it's something that every guy would like to hear.
Yeah. You see his face, she's trying to have it both ways, you know?
You see his face, and he's like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? He's like, I doubt
it. And then she's, like, smiling, like, all crazy, like, the whole fucking time, too. Like, that crazy smile.
So your worst line is when she's talking about her husband, and she says that, that Christopher Walken would like her husband.
Because it's obviously she went back there because she still has feelings for him. But at the same time, she's trying to, like, say that she's moved on and that she would, like, you know, maybe, like for them to meet someday or some shit like that. Like, I don't know what she was going for, like, in that scene. Like, it wasn't a well-written scene, you know? Like, why did she have to, like, put that in there, you know? Like, or why did the writer have to put that in there?
Well, Pierre, what did you think about the line?
Yeah, well, I can't remember a couple of the movies. I've heard it in a couple other movies, but I just, like, roll my eyes at it. Because I don't even know. What is it? Like, an insult? Like, almost, you know? Like, it's not an insult. Yeah. It's like, she's not saying it as an insult, but it's taken.
It's just like throwing salt in the wound, you know?
Yeah, you know? Like, oh, it's not thanks. Intentional, like, what? Right? No, it's not, but it's like, I would rather her not go there and say anything at all than say some of that shit. You know what I mean? Something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's me as a guy, you know.
Yeah.
Being stupid.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't think that she's trying to. I think she was kind of over it. That she had enough time to get over it, right? Him. And I think, people are talking about him a lot. I think she waits a little while to show up, you know what I mean? But I don't think that she's like trying to get back with him or anything. I think she just came because she had to come talk to him, you know. It's like the least anyone can do, right? But okay. All right, so we'll go with Peter, what's your worst line of this movie?
My worst line was when the doctor was like, it wasn't meant to be. I'm not going to call my mom because, you know, like, fuck her. I waited, you know, since I was 5 years old and I'm 65 now. And now that I found her, I'm not going to reach out to her.
But, he wasn't searching for her his whole life.
He probably was. It didn't say that he wasn't.
I think he thought she was dead, though. Yeah, maybe she's 90 and he just didn't want to give her a heart attack. I don't know. I'm just fucking with you.
But yeah, like, it was like, I think it was trying to show like his, I don't know, like righteousness and not disturbing the space-time continuum. I don't know. But, like the alternate reality of what can be. Yeah, yeah. Of not disturbing of, like, you know, like, yeah. But
do you know the end of that scene when Christopher Walken's looking at him dumbfounded? You know, like, I think they cut it before Christopher Walken's like, you pussy-ass motherfucker. Call her back and tell her you're her son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think about that line, Chris?
Yes. I don't really got too much more to say. I think it was, like, speaks for itself. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I think it's his choice.
I feel like you. Yeah. I feel like you give a lot of passes to this movie.
But I don't have a problem. I think it's the wrong choice, but it's his choice to make. If that makes sense. It reminds me of City Slickers. Have you guys seen the movie City Slickers?
I know what you're talking about.
The scene. There's this old cowboy who says something like, he's like, someone asks him if he's ever, have you seen City Slickers, Chris?
Yeah, a long time ago, though.
So there's this, someone asks this old cowboy if he's ever been in love, and he says, I saw some lady hanging clothes on a clothesline. She was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I just stared at her and then rode away. And he's like, you should have talked to her. That's horrible. She could have been the love of your life. And he's like, she was the love of my life. And he's like, you're wrong. And he's like, that's my choice. And he's like, I would have went and talked to her. He's like, well, that's your choice. Oh no, it sounds stupid, but I kind of like believe that. This is America. You can wear pants all day if you want to, or skinny jeans, right? Your choice.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you already did your worst line?
Yeah.
All right, my worst line, which is kind of funny, is when they're talking about after Christopher Walken finds out that he's going to nuke the planet, right? He calls his doctor and comes and sits down. They're talking about Hitler, and they talk about his like premonition.
Yeah.
And he asks him, he's like, did the boy drown? And he says, no, I could, there was a blank space, like a dead zone. And the doctor's like, oh, isn't it obvious? Like, you can change. I'm like, how the fuck do you make that correlation? Like, it is not obvious just because you can't see all of something. It's just like a weird, let's put the movie title in it. You know what I mean?
That was your worst line?
That is my worst line because it doesn't make sense and it's not obvious. You know what I mean? And what, because, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make, like, it just feels like they wanted to put the title in the movie. You know what I mean? But,
okay. But that was kind of cool. Actually.
But like,
what's... I do hate when they like put the title of the movie in the script. You know, like
it didn't
I
think feel it's just... like obvious at all. It's not fucking obvious. You know what I mean?
What did you say, Chris? You hate it? You hate it when they do that?
Well, I just I didn't mind the scene. I actually liked the scene, but like I just hate when they like put the title of the movie in the script. You know. Hmm.
I hate when they force it, and this one felt forced, yeah. But yeah. You know what's really crazy that maybe I'm looking too much into this movie? But if you remember the premonition of Martin Sheen when he commits suicide at the end of the movie, right?
Yeah.
There's blackness all around him. And, like, there's just, like, the table and Charlie Sheen and the gun and the magazine, right? And so that's all dark zone. It's all dark space around him. So maybe that didn't even happen. You know what I'm saying? Which is kind of a trip. Like maybe that's not a foregone conclusion that he does commit suicide.
But that's how did he see that though the second time? Because Martin Sheen wasn't touching him, right?
Yeah, he just saw it before he died. He grabs him at the end of the movie after he's been shot. He's asking him who sent him. And he grabs his hand and confirms.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that if there was a dark zone that he was able to change, and then there's a dark zone at the end of the movie that he commits suicide, does he really commit suicide at the end? You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. That's just because I've watched it 10 times in the last month.
That's kind of like a big topic about this movie that I really wanted to bring up with you guys. Like, do you guys think that... that time and like our future is like immutable,
like a predetermined destiny kind of.
Yeah. Or do you think that like you know, because there's like that theory like where like you can like change like everything in like your life is like is you can like make as many like decisions as you want, or like, you know, you could change like your whole life and turn it upside down tomorrow and it would still lead to the same like conclusion that it was gonna be like if you hadn't made those choices. Like, do you think that's like that's how like life is, or do you think like the changes or like decisions you make like alter your future? Like,
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, if you had like, if you look at your past, like do you think like you could like change the future, like if you had gone like back in time and like or if you saw your future, you know, do you think like if you made that choice right now, like to like change that possible future, like, do you think like,
well, I think that we have, I absolutely believe that we have free will, if that makes sense, to do to do what we want. That's the only thing we have. But I don't know if our free will is destined to bring us to our like. What I'm saying is, maybe we already do have an endpoint, no matter what, like. Yeah. It's going to be somewhere, like, no matter what we do, but I think that we have the free will to get there. I don't know if we can change it or not, but I got a kind of a crazy story real quick. So they, a bunch of, like, college kids went to this retirement center and asked all these old people, like, if you can go back in the time and change something, what would you change? Have you guys heard of this before?
No. Uh-uh.
Nope.
So, like, overwhelmingly, the consensus was that they would not change anything because they wouldn't want to fuck with anything nowadays because they're old and everyone they love is around, you know, all of their kids and stuff like that. So they wouldn't change a damn thing. That's what, like, overwhelmingly the consensus was, which was very strange to them, you know what I mean? To everyone, pretty much. Another thing is, though, like, something that I heard was like, we all mess up in our pasts, some more than others, and there's things that we wish we can travel back in time and change, right? But like, we are time traveling right now into the future, so we can still change stuff even though it's not going into the past. Right now we're in the present. And even though something might be wrong, we still have time to change it and make it better. That's kind of like I don't know if that sounds too like hippy dippy or whatever, you know what I mean? But I believe that's true, you know what I mean?
It's funny because you guys are giving me shit about Star Trek, watching too much Star Trek shit.
But did that make sense to you? Like,
it does. It does perfectly make sense. But with Chris's question, is like, do you have like a predetermined destiny?
It's like, because like a part of this movie, like, sorry to cut you off, Peter,
are you good?
But like, part of this movie, it like deals with like God and like and if people like believe in God, then you believe that he knows your future, your past and present and future, and he already knows how you're gonna end, and he already knows how the world is gonna end. Like, if you believe that, then you already have like a set like fate or destiny, you know, like how can you have like free will, you know, if you believe in like a higher power, you know?
It's so funny because you mind if I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
It's funny because like, it's kind of hard not to bring in religion to that question, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Right. Because, like, I think, let's say, like you, Chris, like, what, let's say that you know what's going to happen, right? And just because you know it's going to happen doesn't mean that I still don't have free will, though, right? Just because you know what's going to happen. And I think it's kind of sweet, like, how, and I don't, like, mean to get religious or anything, but it's kind of sweet how if somebody knows I'm going to fuck up 10 times, you know, then they're going to, you know, I don't want to get it too much into it, but like the 11th time I'm going to make it, you know, and I might do something 10 times to hurt myself or something like that. And, you know, that maybe that 11th time, you know, just waiting there for it is sometimes what you need, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds corny and stupid, and I didn't mean to make it sound like that.
No, but yeah, totally. I totally get where you're coming from, for sure. I like the... Have you guys ever seen the movie Knowing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a line in that movie where Johnny... Nicolas Cage. He says... they ask him pretty much that question. And he says, I believe shit just happens.
Like,
and that's kind of my sentiment right now. You know, like, maybe it could change in the future, but like, I think like everything that we happens to us is like mostly random. You know, like I think we're like so far out of control, like in our lives that, you know, we're just along for the ride, and the universe is taking us along for a fucking spin, you know, like.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to get too much off topic because I think we have like a lot. But if there was like, so this is like, we always talk about a movie and then we get like too deep into something else.
That's kind of like the point of this, though, right? It's kind of the point.
Well, yeah, but like if, like, let's say Christopher Walken or his character was on Earth today, you know, and for some reason he could tell the future, you know, does that mean that you don't have free will? You know, is that what it means? Yeah. Yeah? You think so?
No, because he changes it. You know what I mean? He saved the kid from drowning. He stops the nukes from going off. Like, he had free will to change it. To me,
But we didn't see all of that. Like, two kids still drowned in that one accident. And but then,
it still changed like somewhat, you said, right?
Yeah, like, maybe, like there's, like, alternate universes where, like, maybe he's seeing this shit happen.
Or more of a path that was changeable, you know?
Well, yeah. What's, like, let's say, okay, not to be too stupid, but, like, let's say that there is a predetermined destination or there's not. It doesn't change anything, right? You still have free will. We do have free will, though. That is a thing. If we have a predetermined destination or if we don't, it's kind of irrelevant. You still have to live your life how you choose fit, how you see fit. I kind of look at life as like a train ride. You kind of don't really pick where you get on or get off. You just hopefully got some cool people on the ride with you. I don't know. But what do you guys think about his... Because it was kind of weird because you get like kind of creepy religious vibes off of the mom. But after watching it like a couple of times, like she's actually like, to me, I find her like a really good mom. Even though even though it's probably not the way like me or I don't think any of us would have raised our kids that way. I think she instills like good values in her son.
But what do you mean? Like, okay, you said creepy.
Yeah, just the way she talks and stuff. Like she's like, cast her from your thoughts. She says, cast her from your thoughts. She cleaves to another man. she's like uber. It just feels like she kind of feels like a Bible thumper. Like if she was
even if she wasn't super religious, that's some good ass advice though, right?
I don't know. It seems that's just that. There's lots of parts of it where she could have been like a scary character in this movie, but she's not.
Yeah.
Okay. let's move on. I think we all did our best lines and worst lines of this movie, right?
Yeah.
Let's go with the best scene.
Right, you don't want to finish the mom, though? You want to talk about the mom?
What do you guys think about the mom?
No, I was saying that was some pretty good ass advice, right? Right, Chris? Just to leave that girl and just move on with your life?
yeah, I guess. So just kind of bluntly. Well, the other thing is, like, you came out of your trance, right? Like that's some it's kind of some crazy shit to be saying, right? Like it is though. Alright. Like if she was alive in the whole movie, she would have beat her son's ass though, right? For sleeping with a married woman and
she probably should have. Somebody should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Where are we at? Alright. Let's go with the best scenes of the movie. I think Chris has been starting it, so you want to go ahead?
So my best scene, Was the entire like suicide scene with Dodd?
Shit.
Like, do you guys like agree with me? Like that it was a pretty sweet scene.
No.
What scene was it?
The suicide scene, like with Dodd, like when they go into the Dodd's house.
Why was that your favorite scene?
It was just it was like the only like or one of the best like horror scenes of the actual movie, you know?
It was so corny. It was so corny.
You think?
Oh, yeah, I like scissors it. In the mouth.
Like, yeah, like it was unique, you know, it was different. I don't know, there's something about it, like I think like because of the mom too, like she was kind of giving off creepy vibes, and like she was like, because she did know about the actual murders, you know, it kind of added to the scene. But also because the lighting in the movie, like did you guys see that, like that green like, yes. lighting, like as they walked into it, like oh man, that just like it like gave like the movie like another level of atmosphere, you know?
Yeah, she was like the complete opposite of the other mom, right?
Yeah.
He's just misunderstood.
I like how Tom Skerritt's standing in like the room and like and doing nothing, you know what I mean? Like how he's just standing there and they're looking at each other. Like I don't know how long he was yeah. just standing there. He walks over there and then he just hears something and then he kicks open the door. It's just crazy, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just love it so much.
Would you recast the scissors if you could? To something even remotely scary though? Like those scissors are not scary. They're really bad.
It was different, you know, like it was a weird, like, do you know, like if the scissors were actually like the murder weapon in the book?
No, that's another thing I was going to get into about Stephen King books later on. But I did not read anything about this story.
Okay. No, it's all good. I would still keep it the same.
Shit. Okay. Alright.
Because what else are you going to use? You
know? Anything, like, dude. That... Like, anything
Yeah,
else.
But everything else has already been done before.
Well, I would at least get some big scissors, I guess. I don't know. those things are silly, dude. Like, they're opened and stuff when he's stabbing people. That'd be really hard to, like, hold them open like that, you know? Like it's really silly. Like, his hand's bigger than them and everything. You know what I mean? Like it just looks silly. But like so Peter, what was your favorite scene of this movie?
Well, I wanna talk some shit about that scene real quick first.
Okay. Oh my god. No.
Because it was like it was a good climax and then it just didn't deliver, I don't think. It just looked kind of cheesy, you know, like bad. Yeah. It's like if all three of us got in the bathroom and we put some shit up, you know, with what we had around the house and we just put some scissors in my mouth, you know, and it just
yeah. It looks kind of creepy though, doesn't it? It looks kind of creepy. He's like twitching and stuff. You don't think he looks like super creepy with his I don't know what that jacket was made out of. Like plastic and crap, and he's like,
well, it was a good climax. Cool. It was a good climax, and then like the actual scene itself, it looked like a dude with some scissors in his mouth. You know, just I don't know.
You want some like crazy, like some scissors going through his face and out the back of his head and stuff like that. Just some crazy shit.
I think it would have been cool if they opened the door and it showed like a. Like the back of his head, and then the guy standing in the doorway, like Christopher walking in the doorway. And he didn't see anything; he just knew he was dead.
Alright, so Peter, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was after he woke up from his coma, and he had that premonition. Actually, it wasn't a premonition; it was like a current event of the fire in the nurse's daughter's home or nurse's home.
Yeah.
I think that was shot pretty damn well.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the practical effects in this movie are like done really well.
I'm especially pretty sure he's in that bed with it on fire, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it felt like they took their time with that. It felt like they spent a lot of time on that one scene.
It really looks good. Like, it really gets you into the like his like what he's feeling, what he's seeing. You know, I don't know. And I don't think a freaking bowl would boil like that though. You know what I mean? But it looks cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like the exact opposite of when the truck driver just flips over the truck.
So did you know that shit happens? Like, I'm actually a truck driver, and like that shit happened at our yard. Like, it wasn't a tanker, but this fucking guy, like, you know what part he's talking about, Chris? When the truck detaches from the trailer?
Yeah.
Like, not to scare anybody, but like, there is a very easy way to make sure that that doesn't happen. Like, good truckers check their shit, you know what I mean? But like, I have a, like, there's like, you get out and you look and you make sure it's latched and everything's good and you do tests and everything, like a tug test. It's called a tug test. Anyways, like, there's this guy that was, he drove from California to Phoenix and everything was fine until he pulled into our parking lot and he was pulling two trailers connected to each other. And he turned, and damn, both the trailers kept going straight and ran into like a wall and went through the wall and everything. It was.
Anybody get hurt?
No, man. Thank by the grace of God, no one went into a coma and got superpowers or nothing.
Damn, I was just gonna fucking say that.
But he drove all the way from California, and like when he got into Phoenix, into our parking lot, it happened. Like, he could have easily killed people. And there's, like, I, like, when I first started driving the truck, I did drop a trailer, and, like, I couldn't, like, I was scared for the rest of the day, you know what I mean? So, like, you truck drivers, if you listen to this, do your tug test, get out and look, and then you make sure that pin's there.
But, I've done that, too, before, though, like, because I used to work in my own business where I was, like, hauling a landscape trailer.
Yeah.
And it's only like a 20-foot trailer, but it was like I didn't like I latched it on. I thought I latched it on, and I thought I put the lock down on the hitch, and I guess it didn't like go all the way down, and so I got like a mile down the road, and I hit a bump, and the fucking trailer fucking like unlatched. But luckily, I had the chains. I had the chains on. So, but I had the fucking, me and my dad had to lift the fucking trailer by our, with, like, the front of the trailer by ourselves, you know.
Was it a single axle trailer?
No, it was double.
So, we saw this, I was driving for work, and I was coming down the 17.
You gotta get back on topic.
Yeah, so I'll hurry up, but there was a double axle trailer, which means there's two tires on both sides. It detached on the highway and was just rolling down the fucking highway all by itself. Oh, and I was like, because if it was a single axle, the front would go down and scrape, or the front would go up and it would stop itself. This thing just rolled at 60 miles an hour. And it was fucking terrifying. All right. So that was Chris, or that was Peter's best scene. Was the crazy first premonition.
Your daughter, she's on fire. Hurry up.
Okay, all right. So my best scene of this movie is the press meeting, right? When that, like, sleazy reporter's like, why don't you hold my hand and tell me when I'm going to die, right? Oh, and then he freaks him out, but he's like, you want to know when your sister, why she committed suicide.
Yeah, that's a good story. That was good writing. That was a really good scene, actually, too.
And it leaves it open, well, too. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't tell you.
I have a little bit to say about this scene. Because I don't know if the writer intended for that character to be that way. Because he was either bad at his job or he was just an asshole. I'm not sure which one he was supposed to be written as, but if he was like good at his job, he would have brought like a notepad like all the other reporters had.
I thought he was bored.
So like he was
or something.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, seriously.
Chris, what was your worst scene of this movie?
My worst scene was...
You're probably going to have the same one.
Yeah, it's where he says... it's in the beginning where he says, "I'm crazy about you, Johnny." and he replies with, like, "I'm going to marry you." We already talked about it, but...
You don't think that's, like, the best romance scene in the film?
It was so cheesy. It was just wasn't well written. It could have said anything else in that line. Like, you could have said, like, I don't know. Like, you could have, I've seen 1,000, like, romance movies, and they never fucking say anything, like, as cheesy as that.
Okay. Do you hate that scene, Peter?
No, I didn't hate it. It's just there were... kind of reinforced like the lack of chemistry between the two of them, I think. So, you know. Am I wrong? Or no?
I don't have a problem with it. I think they're just in love with each other. I don't know.
Well, that's what the story wants you to... I mean, that's what the movie wants you to believe, but I just don't think that the actors had chemistry in the movie. Am I wrong or no? Chris?
I think that's probably it. That's probably what was wrong with the scene, you know?
Okay. I would never be standing out in the rain like that, though. I'd be like, hey, I'm leaving. Let's go under the porch or in the car and talk. I'm not going to
stay. No, you would have went inside, you know?
Okay. All right. Peter, worst scene?
My worst scene... Well, it's not the same as Chris's, actually. My worst scene was when he woke up from that coma and the doctor was standing there at his bedside. And, no, let me bring in your mom and dad because they've been here for 5 years too. Just waiting for you to wake up. That was nuts. And where were they waiting at? How come they weren't waiting by his bedside? You know, they had to wait in a waiting room.
You don't think that like he showed signs of waking or anything? You think he just like... He just like opened his eyes out of nowhere and his doctor was there or something?
No. I
don't. How many times did you watch this?
I watched it once and I watched a couple of parts of it again.
Alright. Do you think that's a ridiculous part, Chris?
Yeah, it was just absurd. It was absurdity at its best. Like, there was a couple, like, points in this movie where it was pretty dumb like that. Like, I don't think the director realized, like, how silly that was until afterwards. He's all like, we don't got time or money to reshoot this, so we're just going to leave it.
I kind of think, like, it was intended to, like, trick everyone, you know what I mean? Maybe if he didn't know he was in a coma.
What I'm trying to say is, like, why couldn't, like, a nurse or a CNA or something... like, see him wake up, and then they call them in, like, in an hour. You know what I mean?
I think that they didn't want the audience to know that he was in a coma. You know what I'm saying? I get what you're saying. Okay. I didn't have a worst scene for this movie because it's so good.
Oh, man. Yeah. Serious.
I think there's some silly parts.
It sounds like a 10 for David.
I know.
All right, everybody, this is the part of the podcast where we say a famous quote from a different movie, a blockbuster movie, and we got to guess what that quote is from, what movie it's from, and you can play along with us. So today, Chris is going to be supplying us with a quote. Whenever you're ready, Chris.
This is pretty good.
Okay. So, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a quote. You know, this was supposed to be my weekend off, but no. You got me out here dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert.
Oh, yeah, I know it is.
Dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute.
Yeah, it's Will Smith, right? In Independence Day?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Is that what you got there?
That was a good quote. Yeah. Starts kicking him.
I was gonna go for the one was where he says like, and should we win this day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as American holiday. But that would have given it away too easy.
That was a good one. I'm surprised we got it. Here's my deep dive real quick. Try to hurry it up. I don't know what about this. There's a feeling in this movie I can't really describe. It's kind of like good versus evil. And I kind of, the more I watch it, the more I like it. I just keep watching it and I keep seeing more into it, I guess. Like little nuances and stuff. Like there's a part, like right before he takes the rifle and leaves to go shoot the guy, Martin Sheen's character. Like he looks at a picture of his mother and father when they were young, you know? And, like, to me, like, he's looking at that, and that's all that he wants, to be happy, you know? And that's all, that's something he'll never have, and, like, he's fine with it, finally. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a resentment towards it, and he's giving up everything to make the world a better place, pretty much. I really like it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot that I'm reading into it. I don't know if that's right or not, you know what I mean? But there's, like, scenes like that, you know? I think there's enough good actors to make it like just really fun to watch. Like Tom Skerritt sells everything, even though it's like he only has like 2 minutes of screen time or whatever, you know. Like he's kind of embarrassed to be asking this guy for help. He's stressed out. I don't know. I just like his character a lot. I think it's crazy, like how Johnny. He's never like, even though he's like helped catch a serial killer, he's still like miserable. You know, he has no sense of, I don't think gratitude's the right word, but like he doesn't accept anything. You know what I mean? He's just mad that he got shot, you know, even though like he helped stop a serial killer, but he doesn't accept like his, I don't want to say like responsibility, but he, you know what I mean? Like, he's still upset at everything. I think Christopher Walken's, like, I really like him in this movie probably more than... I haven't seen too many Christopher Walken movies. But I really like him in this movie more than anything, any of the other ones. When he wakes up and he finds out Sarah's not his anymore, it's kind of hard watching him. Like, his agony, you know? I already said it's kind of funny, Tom Skerritt walking around asking everyone to solve, like, do his job. I wonder how many, like, psychics he's asked, you know?
Shit. Can I ask you something?
I don't think he's that bad at his job.
No, I don't think.
So,
I mean, this guy, someone's running around with scissors, like, oh, it's silly. It's like,
Is it one of your top 10 movies, David?
I don't think it is. I just like it a lot. Maybe I won't like it so much later. Maybe because I was a little bit surprised, you know. But I really enjoy it. When Tom Skerritt says like, "I've exhausted every conventional method," I'm like, "Bullshit! You fucking exhausted every con." There's a guy running around stabbing people with scissors. Like, you can't catch this fucking guy. Oh no! in like broad daylight. I think the only it's kind of boring when they bring in the kid, right? It kind of drags a little bit. I think Dodd looks super cool. Like, isn't it serial killer cool? Hair, bowl haircuts. I hope those never come back. Let me see.
Does anything bug you in this movie?
There's a lot of goofy stuff, but I don't mind, like, the old-timey type stuff. You know what I mean? I think the scissors bug me. Those are really funny. Even like the gazebo, you know what I mean? Isn't that a crazy word, gazebo? That's really dumb. I do think it's messed up, which is like, why should I waste a smile on you? I was like, hot damn, girl, that's some mean thing you should say. Let me see. I think that's everything I got. Alright,
Chris, who's next
for the deep dive?
You know, the writing is weak at points, you know, like especially like the love scene, the interaction between like Johnny and Sarah, like it just didn't feel like natural, you know. You just almost like felt like too awkward around her, you know. Like, I don't know, how long were they dating, like, before they, before he got into the coma, you know?
I don't know, I think he was a virgin, though, right?
What do you think?
I think so. I'll, he's saving himself till they get married. I thought that's what it was, right? Some things are worth waiting for.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, like, as far as, like, waiting for marriage, but maybe just for, like, till they're, like, you know, like, actual boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, like type of thing. I don't know, but there was just a couple things I wanted to like kind of pick your minds on, like, because like he gets his superpowers like after the accident, right?
Yeah, but he kind of had a little something before on the like the ride,
the roller coaster.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, like, did they intend to do that, or was that a mistake? Like,
no, I'm pretty sure that. It's like a, it's coming right there. Yeah,
I think I read somewhere a while ago that's like in the book it's quite different. Like he had something kind of like in The Shining, where when he was a kid it was developing, you know, and it was more prominent after he had the accident.
In the book, he gets his powers from falling and hitting his head on the ice, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
But
but he was. But he had some stuff happen when he was a kid, right? It wasn't like as an adult, just
straight into it. All right, what else do you got, Chris?
I wonder, like, do you guys think that, because you know how we were talking about the trailer being unhitched and rolling down the street? Yeah. Do you think that scene, like, inspired the stunt from Terminator 2?
I don't know. Do you guys like the scene?
I thought you were going to ask if that gives you, like, superpowers or something. would...
I mean, it is milk.
No, like,
you get stronger, right?
I'm lactose intolerant, so I was like, fuck, that would suck if that happened to me.
No, like, I want to hear what Peter has to say.
Okay, well, I'll start with something good, because Christopher Walken, he had some really good scenes. He had a good scene where he was trying to convince that dad not to send his kid to go play in the hockey, right? On the ice. And he delivered... on those scenes where, like that one, pretty much. But you guys think like Rick Moranis would have been like a better role for this movie or no?
Rick Moranis?
Yeah, like somebody like more. He didn't like this. What's his name? Christopher Walken. He didn't seem like he even belonged in that town or that family even.
Right? You don't think at the beginning he belongs there with that haircut and. Those giant glasses. You don't think he fits in?
Or maybe it's just me, but if you had like a guy who like that looked like Rick Moranis, more like I don't know.
Who's Rick Moranis?
He plays Honey I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey I Shrunk the Kids.
Maybe it's just me.
No, that would never work.
Yeah, I think it
would have
been better.
Like the dad in this movie, they do look like they could be related, but the dad looks like Wallace from Wallace and Gromit, doesn't he? He's like way too goofy to take seriously.
Okay, so what else about this movie? Okay, so for Christopher Walken, he's not like the leading man in a lot of movies, right?
Yep.
He does like a... They say it like a supporting actor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he delivers on most of the shit he's in too. So I think like he delivered very well in this movie, but it wasn't through the whole damn time of the movie, I guess. I feel like some of the movie he just was kind of lackluster. But none of it, I don't think any of his acting was bad. But whenever he's on screen in other movies like Pulp Fiction, it's kind of intense and he delivers it well. Does that make kind of sense?
No, yeah, for sure.
It makes sense. Okay. Well, I disagree a lot. But okay.
Okay. What else you got? That's, yeah. So we talked about, like, this could have been like a superhero movie, right? He like had an accident and just almost became like Professor X kind of, right?
Yeah.
And then I kind of joked about at the beginning, like if he went in that house, then he should have probably would have had a good life. No, I had a question for you. Okay, so the movie that we watched, that was your recommendation for the Western movie. Your complaint was that there was no, like, extra characters in the background. Yeah. And they were, like, totally on the roller coaster by themselves, right?
Yeah, that was really shitty. Like, it's a low budget, or something like that.
Yeah, it is a very low budget movie. And I'm just curious if that bugged you at all.
Yeah, that bugged me. I don't think the movie premised on the Appaloosa. They were trying to save a town with no people living in it. But,
yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So I talked a lot of shit about this movie. Christopher Walken, he's a good actor, and he did well in this movie. But yeah, it's. I don't know. I think I was just hoping for more, I guess. But I gotta say, there was a couple of dumb scenes with, like, where he woke up out of the coma and they were just waiting there for him. But I didn't hate anything.
You know? All right, so am I getting worse in my movie picks or better for you guys?
No. I rewatched.
Okay, I
rewatched a couple of your...
From my point of view. From where we started with Beyond the Law, like, to where we are now, like, it's, you know, the, it's getting better, but incrementally, okay. You know, like.
That's funny. All right.
Yeah, well.
What do you think, Peter?
Like, In all honesty, I think you should pick what you like, not what we like. You know what I mean?
I am, but I'm not picking things I think that you won't like, though, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's movies that I am specifically not picking that I do like a lot just because I think that you guys would hate them. But,
well, I wouldn't do that because I picked my last movie pick, The Lady Vanishes. I didn't think anybody would like that shit. But you might strike gold with something that you think we might hate, you know?
Okay. Like, the things you guys complain about are heavy in the movies that I think that you won't like. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think it's going to happen. But okay, is that anything else on your deep dive?
No. That last thing I'll say is that, like, it's not a bad movie. I don't think... And some of your movies, David, in all honesty, if I watch them again, I tend to like them better after a couple of times. So maybe... And, you know, I was harsh on Chris's movie last one, too. I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't... This one just didn't click. I thought I was going to like it a lot for some reason.
Okay.
And maybe that's half of it. Maybe my expectation was too high, I guess.
Are you guys ready to do the review? Rating? All right.
Yeah.
I'll leave it on a good note so you guys can give your crappy ratings first.
All right. I'll go first if that's okay. So I gave it a 5. There was nothing I really absolutely hated in this movie. And I'll probably grow to love it. It might be an 8, like, in a couple of years. But the good, you know, Christopher Walken, the doctor, they probably had the best relationship of anybody. And then Christopher Walken delivers a couple of lines very well, a couple of scenes very well as well. But I think it was just too much. But I give it a 5.
All right, Chris, 1 to 10, where does this fall?
All right, I'm going to give this one a 6.
Right.
Yeah, I you know, like I said before, I have a soft spot for, like, because I'm a horror junkie, you know, and, like, I like from the mild to wild, like, side of horror movies, and this one kind of falls, like, in between, you know, maybe a little bit lesser into the milder side, but I really like the deeper, like, you know, connotations of like religion and destiny and fate and all that, like how it's kind of tied up into it as well. I guess it left a pretty good taste in my mouth. You know, the practical effects were done really well. You know, technically it was pretty mediocre, you know, visually, you know, like there was nothing like really stunning about the camera work or anything. So it was a good watch, you know, like I think like the more you watch it, like the more you love it. Kind of like how you're saying, like you kind of like find like little things about it, like every time you watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm gonna give this, I think, an 8.5. Hey. I think it's really watchable. You know, it's like it's just so fast paced and just moves. It keeps moving. I really like Johnny's journey, like I said a bunch of times, like his up and downs, you know, and there's lots of funny or silly parts in it, especially like the briefcase at the end that just beeps, you know, it's pretty cheesy. But like, I think it's a pretty dang good story. I'm a sucker for a good story. I think Christopher Walken pulls it off. And one thing I forgot real quick. Do you guys remember the like World War II scene where like people are blowing up and crap like that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That seemed like that was like a lot of money for something like this small. I always thought that like they like took that out of a different movie or something and just put it in here. it seems like they spent some money
on it. Like a Highlander scene kind of?
Yeah, like it just seemed like well done, didn't it? Like that was pretty well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys.
So, well, I had a quick question. Chris, were you bored at all in this movie or no?
No.
Any of it, were you bored?
No, like kind of like you know, I wasn't bored at all. Like I think the pace of this movie like keeps the story going and like, you know, like it doesn't leave you like at the edge of your seat, but it keeps you interested enough, you know, in every scene that it doesn't like slow down at all, you know. And there's scenes in this movie where I wish it would have slowed down, like so we could kind of get like a little bit more deeper into those scenes, you know. So
yeah, David, you think? I'm sorry.
No.
David, you think he lost his mind at the end or no?
Who?
Christopher Johnny? Walken's character? Yeah.
Like
it could have been like partially like just because he went like on a, he was going to try to take that guy out. You don't think you like?
No, he, like just it's possible like, he could have
like been like, half and half, right?
No, like I don't think it portrays that to the viewers. I kind of think that like we're seeing what he's seeing, you know, like if and he's not going, like he's not acting irrational or anything, so I kind of think that like to me like it's kind of crazy because it starts, the stakes start out low in the movie where it's one girl getting hurt and then the next one's like multiple boys getting hurt, right? And then they're stopping a serial killer, so he stops killing people. And then all the way up to, like, the crescendo of, like, a nuclear bomb. I don't know, it just seems like he's, like, he put it all together. He's like, oh, okay, like, this is why I am here, you know what I mean? Like I'm finally okay with my life path. What I want is insignificant. Sounds dumb, like, but for the greater good. He completely came to terms with that. So, like, even though he didn't get his, like, to grow old with the woman he loved, he knew that, like, that God had, like, a more, like, important role for him.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, guys, so that's our review of the 1983 movie The Dead Zone. One thing I was going to say, we had some pretty bad news come out of Texas with a bunch of children being murdered by another mass shooter, which is really sad and sadly common. It's like the world we live in today. And I try not to get into politics because that turns everyone off or whatever. I just hope that we just feel for the family members of those children. And if you guys, like, if you guys are listening to this and you need help, so that, like, talk to someone, you know, like, if you have these thoughts, I guess that you can't, I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, if you need help, you then talk to someone so that we, I don't know what the right answer is for all of this, but, like,
yeah, it's just, I mean, it can be, like, political, like, as far as the answer, like, goes, or it can be, like, mental health, like, side of it as well, you know, like, it can be both at the same time. Like, we don't have to, like, just talk about, like, how guns are the only solution, you know, or, like, how mental health has to be the only solution. Like, they can coexist, you know, we can solve both problems at the same time.
Yeah, to me, like, there's nothing more important than our babies, you know, our children. These are, I think, fourth graders, which is just, yeah, like, my kids are, like,
I mean, when I heard the news, like, I just started, like, getting, like, tear-jerk, you know, because it just feels like we're just getting numb to it.
And it's getting worse. Less than 2 weeks ago, it happened out in New York at a grocery store.
Yeah.
And I just, if you guys, like, I just hope that, and besides the people that passed away from the gunman, like, the gunman's also dying. That's another death that didn't have to die, you know what I mean? So, like, to me, like, I think that this might sound stupid, but if we can help them, then this will stop, you know? If we can get, they can get the help that they need in any way.
Yeah, there was there's actually three shootings within like 12 days.
Yeah.
But we are getting numb to it. And if nothing changes, then it's going to continue to happen. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, so, I mean, leave that on the downer or whatever, but it is, we just, everyone out there in Texas that knew someone or lost someone, there's no words to, that we can say. It's just, you're not forgotten, I guess. Like, we feel it with you guys. Like, those are children. Yeah. All right, so that's our episode this evening, and we hope to you guys will come back for the next one. I think it's who's going to be picking that one?
Is it mine. Chris or Peter? You guys are probably going to fucking hate it.
Okay. All right, guys. So we'll see you back next time. Good night.
All right. Good night, guys.